Final hour of Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. 13 minutes after 5 o'clock, we are happy that you've made us a part of your Monday afternoon. Taking you into your Monday evening, we'll be here for another 47 minutes or so. And then it's time for the 2018 debut of the WEOL Scholastic Games of Lorain County, presented by the Elyria Public Library System. But we'll get to that in just a few. First things first. We need to get to our Hollywood insider, the one, the only, Mr. Al Harris. Al, how are you, buddy?
Fantastic. How's it going over in Cleveland?
Oh, you know, snowing outside, but that's to be expected this time of the year. You know, sure. When you were on with us last week,
yes,
you tweeted for like the first time in like 2 years that we spoke about a movie that, at the end of the day, isn't even going to happen to the best of our knowledge.
Exactly.
Danny McBride got us all with that Crocodile Dundee alleged remake or extension or sequel or whatever it ended up being.
Yeah.
But it's not even going to happen. But it's too bad because that trailer with he and Christopher Hemsworth was really awesome.
Yeah, it's definitely made me want to see like a buddy movie with the two of them, especially after, you know, Chris Hemsworth showed off his acting or comedic acting chops on Thor Ragnarok. I think we're due for more funny Chris Hemsworth, and with him and McBride together, I could see something like that coming up in the near future, especially after they worked on this little thing, which from what I've heard is turning out to be a Australia tourism commercial for the Super Bowl. So,
supposedly Hugh Jackman's going to make an appearance in it.
Should be fun. Like, to me right there, that's a movie. I'll take Hugh Jackman, Chris Hemsworth, and Danny McBride in a film.
Yeah, see, dare I say, that could be best in show. I see what I did there?
I did there?
You liked that. You liked that.
Impressive.
Well, we'll get to some Academy Award talk a little bit later on, but I want to get your takeaways from the Grammys last night. Anything in there that kind of surprised you? I saw Dave Chappelle won an Emmy yesterday. Won a Grammy, yeah.
Yeah, Dave Chappelle won a Grammy for Best Comedic Album, beating some heavy hitters. It's always fun to watch. See him, whether it's an award show or not. My biggest takeaway was I still think that the Grammys is the worst award show, and they did nothing yesterday to change that. A lot of the old guard, like, there was way too much U2. The Sting and Shaggy bit was like, all right, whatever. And I really think they need to, you know, there's a lot of great new music out. First of all, the nominations that they do are not good. How Bruno Mars beat Kendrick Lamar, Jay-Z, anyone else in that Lord or Childish Gambino, and won Best Song and Best Record and Best Album, that's insane. So right there, that's their big problem, is the nominations and the winners that are winning. And then just forgetting about the future and the present and recycling these old artists. Like, it would have been much more entertaining to see Lord perform. There were some issues with that. But some of these, you know, there wasn't any good, like, new indie bands, alternative rock bands. It was the same old, you know, like I said earlier, U2, Sting, Elton John. Like, I think it's time to stop doing that and really start embracing, the future of music instead of the past.
Fair enough. No, I think that's a very fair criticism, and I've heard that a couple of times today, so you're certainly not alone in that.
Yeah.
Well, I've been curious about this. We're out, you know, it's Super Bowl week. That hype machine's being kicked into high gear as we speak. I've always been curious because everybody seems to be dialed in on Super Sunday, and sure, why not? I mean, the advertisers really go crazy for that game, and they get rid of a healthy chunk of their advertising budget heading into this game. But what do some of these other networks do? I mean, is this something you just kind of sleep on if you're a network that isn't carrying this game? Or do they try and get creative and provide an alternative for that smaller crowd that wants nothing to do with the Super Bowl?
Well, usually it's the same kind of thing that the other networks do when the Academy Awards are on. It's a lot of, you know, reruns, movies, maybe some older, like some material that skews to an older demographic that might not be as into football. So you might have a lot of, you know, you might have a lot of programming geared to older women or stuff like that. So that's usually what they do. It's usually reruns and movies. Yeah, they pretty much just punt.
Hey.
Those days.
Ah, see, I see what you did there. Nice job, Al.
Well done.
Good pun. Well done, sir.
There you go. Not intended, but yeah. So I think they'll just, they don't try to, it's worthless. They're not going to do a lot of, you know, marketing and advertising for their shows on Sunday. They know everyone's going to be watching the Super Bowl. And so, I mean, you'll have like, you know, you have some of the cable programs or cable channels try and do stuff like kind of incorporating the Super Bowl, like, you know, the Puppy Bowl, or I think MTV's doing something this year. So you'll have that they kind of like decided if they go completely out there, they're not going to get anything, so they'll at least do something along those lines. So you'll see that. But as far as seeing like new episodes of shows or like big premieres, you're not going to see any of that on the other networks.
Now, on the counter to that, it seems like whatever network gets it uses that opportunity to really hit home on a show. I know This Is Us is going to be on after the Super Bowl this year, which is probably, you could say it, it's probably NBC's big show right now.
Yeah.
I know in the past Fox has done House afterwards and Family Guy and things of that nature.
Yeah, and I don't know what This Is Us is going to do this year, but usually they do some sort of like celebrity casting or something like that to get more viewers in. You remember when Friends did it back in the day? They had like Jean-Claude Van Damme, I think, Brooke Shields. They had a bunch of like stars at that point to try and drum up even more interest. So I'd be surprised to see what This Is Us does.
I think they're killing the dad. I could be wrong, but I think that's finally going to happen.
Spoiler alert. Hold up.
I'm not going to say anything.
If you've been watching the show, you understand just how important a factor that is to what's going on there. They lost me with their season finale last year. They didn't kill the dad off. The show went nowhere in their season finale. I'd never been more upset with something in my life.
I kind of understood why they did that. We're going to get a little too inside baseball with this show, but this season has really knocked it out of the park. I've been very happy with what they've been doing. I think this season really makes up for all that. And I thought, honestly, after some of the characters had left and some of like the plot lines finished up, the ones that I enjoyed the most, I was very worried because, honestly, there's four aspects of that show, and there's only a half of that show that's interesting. The other half is just not. But they're doing a better job this year of incorporating and making all of the parts a little more interesting. So that's all I got for This Is Us. I could talk about for much longer, but no one wants to hear that.
Okay, all right, because I kind of gave up on it after last year's season finale, but you're telling me get back into it. It's worth it, huh?
100%. I think this season's a lot better than last, and anyone else listening who's given up, they should definitely check it out again this season.
See, I get why they put it after the Super Bowl, but at the same time, NFL games take a year and a half to complete. The Super Bowl takes 4.5 years to complete. So by the time that's done, and the circus afterward, the trophy presentation, and all that other stuff that they do, This Is Us. This Is Us might not air until 11:30. I say that half joking, half serious. It legitimately might not air until 11:30.
Now Pacific time, man. I'm gonna get that early. Be in bed at a good time.
So he's rubbing it in that he's three hours behind us. He'll be able to watch it at a reasonable time. He rubbed it in earlier when we had him in queue that he was actually going to go on a hike and it's 80 degrees outside. He's Al Harris, our Hollywood insider. I want to get into something I know you want to hit on. And now that we are in award season, boy, the Academy Awards really dominating a lot of Hollywood conversations right now. Now, I think a lot of what we're hearing is how much acclaim the folks surrounding all the money in the world are getting because of just how quickly they put this reshoot together. What are you hearing about that?
Well, yeah, it's doing well in the effects stuff. It didn't get any nominations in the acting categories, which I was a little shocked about. I thought Christopher Plummer would. But they went a little different and nominated your boy Woody Harrelson for 3 Billboards, which I was very shocked by. But I think the biggest takeaway, really, there were a few. One was James Franco not getting a nomination, and that can definitely be attributed to a lot of the sexual harassment stuff that came out right after his Golden Globe win. But I definitely thought he was going to be nominated. I thought it was one of the better performances I saw this year. But for me, it's, we talked about this right after the Golden Globes. that there were only white men nominated for Best Director, and if there was going to be any changes come Academy Award nominations. And there was. Not only Spielberg, Ridley Scott, and the director of Three Billboards, his name is escaping me at this point, whose movie won Best Picture, all three are not nominated for Best Director, which I think puts Shape of Water in the driver's seat for Best Picture. But you have Greta Gerwig, Jordan Peele taking their spots, and the biggest shocker was Paul Thomas Anderson, and Phantom Thread was not supposed to get many nominations. Everything I heard was it would just get nominated for Daniel Day-Lewis, and it crushed, and I really love that movie, so I'm glad it got represented. But it definitely felt like a little more artsy, and besides There Will Be Blood, they haven't really shown a lot of love on Paul Thomas Anderson movies, which are some of my favorites, so I'm glad they did. Giving him a nomination, giving Leslie Manville the score. Best screenplay. So I think that, to me, is the biggest takeaways. But it really doesn't change, I think, the favorites at all. Those are still going to be, I think, Del Toro now becomes the favorite for Best Director since McDonough didn't get nominated. And we'll see who wins Best Picture, because Three Billboards is going to have a tough time now without getting a directorial nominee. So I think that race is more open than it was before the nominations, Best Picture. But I think as far as the acting categories and the director categories, same thing I said right after the Golden Globes, I think will hold true.
What's your take on Wonder Woman? Did it get snubbed, or did it not deserve to be in that? I know a lot of people talking about that. And credit to it, it had the first female lead in a superhero movie, yeah. Female director. But a lot of people are talking about for Best Director, it got snubbed.
Well, I think that's one of those, it's a touchy thing because sure. It was, you know, female director, female lead. It was a good movie. I didn't think it was great. I didn't love it. And I think it got a lot of more push because of that situation. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was a good movie. I don't necessarily thought it should have been nominated for Best Director, and it didn't. But we'll see. And honestly, the biggest thing about superhero movies, and one of the biggest shocks, was Logan became the first superhero movie to get, like, an actual big nomination, not just the effects nomination, getting a screenwriting nod. So I think that's a big one coming forward. Like, if superhero movies will take the lead of what Logan did, because Logan was one of the more inventive superhero movies, kind of changing the mold, making it a little more character-based. And I love that movie, and I'm glad to see that get nominated, and hopefully it changes, especially what Marvel does, instead of becoming all cookie cutter, maybe, you know, diving into more interesting topics.
That makes an easy transition into my next question, my friend, because while we will get to Picks to Click in just a second, I want to ask you about this. This guy may not have been a superhero, but he was larger than life, and it comes on the heels of the Royal Rumble concluding last night. HBO is doing a special on Andre the Giant. I'm excited because that's one of those guys. He's been gone for so long, I feel like in some rings he's been forgotten a little bit, and people forget about how he was a monster so many years ago, and now HBO is shedding some light on him in this special. What kinds of things have you seen, and what kinds of things have you heard about the special they're doing on Andre the Giant?
Well, I think it's great. I don't know why it's taken him so long, to be honest with you, because he was one of the biggest, you know, no pun not intended, stars on the planet. Did, you know, he was acting, he was a wrestler, he did comedic stuff. Like, he was just one of those lovable guys, and kind of, you know, with him and Hogan brought WWF into the mainstream. So I love to see it, and especially, I know, Bull, you're with me on that. We grew up with that era of WWF, of wrestling, in our childhood, and seeing all that stuff, how great it was back then, how just, like, innocent and childlike. It kind of, you know, it got a little more with the DX era and all that stuff, a little more risque. But it was all about the characters and just the actual wrestling. So I'm excited just to see, you know, some of the old clips, some of him messing around with Mean Gene. Like, I think that's great. And, Bull, I know I usually don't do this, but I have a question for you. And since it is, I know you're a huge wrestling fan, and it is technically sports entertainment, do you think Ronda Rousey signing is a big deal, or do you think it's just, you know, not going to be that huge?
I think it's kind of a big deal because this is the first time that I can remember where a female UFC star has made the switch from UFC to WWE. So I think in that regard, it is a big deal because on the female side, that's not been done before to the best of my knowledge. And at one point, you know, Ronda Rousey's kind of fallen off the map after she was beaten by Holly Holm a few years ago, right? Or is it 2 years ago?
It's been a while.
It's been a while. So it's been a long time. But that I think that right there, the fact that we're having a hard time pinpointing exactly when it was, it's been a long time since she was last in the spotlight. So I think her name still has a little something to it, especially in that world.
She came back and got beat again, didn't she? I thought she made a comeback and ended up getting beat again. That's why she was like, I'm done with this.
Well, yeah, and I think she's also wise enough to realize that while there are some risks involved in doing the WWE thing, there are much, much fewer risks involved in that than there are in UFC. So I think she'll stick because she's got the personality to it. At the end of the day, if you've got a personality that they can market, I think that you've got a much greater chance of succeeding. So we shall see. We shall see. That was an interesting ending to that Rumble last night. All right, my man. I need your picks to click.
Well, actually, this week it's not very good. I think part of it could be the Super Bowl and that. There's a Netflix show called Altered Carbon I haven't heard great stuff about. But I would like to take this because I forgot one show last week that I want to talk about real quick. Waco. It premiered on the Paramount Network last week, which is the new Spike TV. They're rebranding, trying to get into the, you know, the peak TV spotlight.
Is that and the one where John Leguizamo plays David Koresh?
Leguizamo's in it, but Taylor Kitsch from Friday Night Lights fame plays David Koresh.
Okay.
Michael Shannon's in it, so it's got A-list talent. I heard it's great. I haven't had a chance to check it out yet, but I'm very excited. Grew up with that story, remember watching it on the news. So kind of the same way that the O.J. Simpson story was, I think it'll tap into that. And like I said, the performances are great. The Koresh story is insane. So everything I've heard has been excellent on that. So I recommend checking out Waco, which premiered last week on Paramount, but I think it's a 10-episode miniseries. So just a limited series. But like I said, everything I've heard has said it's been great.
Very good stuff. Al, as always, my friend, we sincerely appreciate the time. Have some fun on that hike. Don't break a sweat too quickly while we're freezing out here in the cold, but always appreciate the time, my man.
It sounds good. I'll talk to you guys next week.
All right, Al. That's our Hollywood insider, Al Harris, joining us, giving us the inside scoop as he always does. We need to get a break in. Matt Douglas and I will come back for the final half hour of today's show. It's Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL.
Message and data rates may apply.